And it's time now for the Rural News with Susan Murray. In Kirikiriroa, kia ora, Susan, and the fight over the term manuka is getting heated.
Kia ora to you, Marnie. The Australian Manuka Honey Association has taken offence at a study which says only New Zealand manuka honey is authentic. The New Zealand group Unique Manuka Factor Honey Association recently published claims that only 100% New Zealand manuka honey is authentic, and that independent testing revealed manuka from any other country wasn't the real thing. The industry here is working to trademark the term manuka in the UK and EU, but the Australian Manuka Honey Association says the study is laughably self-serving, and it has sent legal documents ordering the New Zealand group to cease and desist. Chairman Ben McKee says the study hasn't gone down well across the Tasman.
I must admit, a lot of our Australian beekeepers and a lot of our Australian industry was really, you know, offended by the suggestion that our honey's not authentic, or it's fake, or it's not real because it doesn't meet a certain range of tests that have been set up particularly to suit a certain variety of manuka, which comes from New Zealand. So we've asked them to stop that, the UMFHA, and we've sent them a letter to that effect. We've always tried to engage with them, but so far, we've had limited, if not any, success in doing that. We're now going to stand up for our own industry as much as we can from our own PR front.
Dr. McKee says the fight is getting dirty and expensive, which is a shame. The Unique Manuka Factor Honey Association says it will seek legal advice before responding to RNZ's request for comment. A Hawke's Bay horticulture consultant says damage to orchards from Cyclone Gabriel is so severe, about half the growers he talks to are thinking about leaving the industry. It's 6 weeks since the cyclone pummeled the region. Ross Wilson says some growers are still assessing whether it's worth clearing off the silt to keep orcharding because they weren't making much money to start with. He says others are biting the bullet and getting on with work, with one grower he met on Friday paying $60,000 a hectare to truck silt away.
It was like a potter's clay. There's no air gaps in it whatsoever. So all of the fruit had dropped on the ground, and it had dropped because the roots were asphyxiated. They're lacking in oxygen. So no income for this crop. And on top of that, huge restoration costs.
Any growers that have mentioned to you that they might just walk away, that they will now change career?
About half of them. It wasn't an easy gig before Gabriel came along. And, if the orchard's not planted up with the varieties that are making a really strong margin, then, a lot of people are saying, gee, do we just pull it all out and plant grass?
Ross Wilson says at least 50 growers he can think of are talking about finishing up, and that includes kiwifruit, stone and pipfruit growers. He says the government recovery money was helpful, but hundreds of thousands more is needed if the region is to rebound. Industry partnership He Waka Eka Noa has failed in its bid to have all farmers know their on-farm emissions by the end of last year, but it says good progress is being made. He Waka Eka Noa, a partnership between government, the primary sector and Māori, is helping farmers prepare for when they have to start paying for on-farm emissions in 2025. A six-month progress report's just been released, and Program Director Kelly Forster says their target was ambitious, but the group wanted to have it in order to drive progress.
We have achieved 81% of farmers knowing their greenhouse gas numbers and 42% of farmers with greenhouse gases included in their farm environment plan. So it's great progress against the milestones that the partnership set out for itself.
Ms Forster says industry groups are putting in a huge amount of work to help farmers calculate their numbers. She says farmers who do will be best placed to cope.
The farmers that know their numbers, it does help them to understand what the size potentially of their emissions levy will be. The majority of farmers that I speak to know that they have a role to play in global efforts to reduce emissions, but there is a lot of fear and uncertainty around emissions pricing. What isn't known, as you've just picked up, is the price, and that won't be known for some time yet. But people do know that that's going to be an additional cost on top of rising input costs, and alongside the fact that there are limited tools to reduce emissions and stay productive. So there is quite a bit of fear and uncertainty around emissions pricing, but certainly knowing your numbers is helping farmers to get their head around what they can do in response to an emissions price.
Kelly Forster says the government will have its agricultural emissions policy ready by mid-year. She says work will then begin on setting up a universal calculator and implementing the pricing system. Fonterra's new flexible shareholding structure comes into effect today. The dairy co-op changed the way shares are allocated to make it easier for new farmers to join and for existing farmers to remain by allowing greater flexibility in the level of investment required. The change also allows more types of farmers to be part of the co-op, including share milkers, contract milkers and those leasing farms. A new horticulture program being offered by Te Pūkenga, the National Polytechnic, is aiming to help people's food budgets go further. Curriculum manager Pam Wood says the increasing cost of fruit and vegetables means more people are wanting to grow their own. She says the Level 2 part-time course will teach people the ins and outs of growing and maintaining a productive garden.
What we're going to do is we've divided the part-time course up into three parts. The first part is around how to start your own vegetable garden. So it's really how can we enable the participants in the program to learn to grow their own kai so that they can feed their whānau or partly feed their whānau from home. And then we'll go into some more general horticultural practices, and then we'll finish with fruit and how to prune a fruit tree and what a good fruit tree should look like and how to maintain your fruit trees ongoing as well.
Pam Wood says the course is one day a week for 6 months and on offer in Blenheim, Richmond and Kaikoura for now, but with plans to extend it nationwide if there's enough interest. That's our rural news for today. Koia rā te pūrongo o tētai whenua.